Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Happy 4th of July weekend to you. Hopefully you're diving, you're planning your next dive. Or you're at least thinking about it and hanging with us. Anyway, it's a win-win, and throw in a sparkler or two, you'll be good to go. All right, so last couple weeks, we brought him up on the air, planning to have him on with us, but the painkillers had kicked in. Usually that makes the show much more palatable to our guests, but he just couldn't pull it off until today, and that was Pete from Scuba Board. He is with us on Scuba Radio now, however. Pete, how are you, my friend?
I've got a broken leg, Greg.
You got a broken leg, so you could be better. Yes, exactly. So
I'm sitting here in my recliner. My cat is sleeping next to my broken leg, trying to guard it, and feeling no pain at the moment.
Okay, so he's doing his best impression of Taylor Swift, I guess. But whatever. You know, it's an unfortunate incident, and we shared this a couple weeks ago, that you had a problem in Fiji where you fell down, broke your leg, and obviously it put a little crimp in your diving activities out there on the, in the islands. But I wanted to, kind of have you on and find out exactly what happened, or as much as you can share with our crew that maybe you can learn from, if, God forbid, something crazy like this happens to you. So I leave it to you. What happened exactly, Pete?
Well, I stepped in a hole I shouldn't have stepped in.
Okay.
It was night.
It was just a freak accident kind of thing?
Well, yes and no. In America, we're used to being protected. Holes are have grates over them, mm-hmm. over drains. Lights are lighting up everything.
Yeah.
When you go to a foreign country, sometimes they overlook that stuff because they don't have the exact same inspections that we have here. That we enjoy here in the great United States of America.
Okay. Well, so it was dark, it wasn't lit, and you accidentally stepped in this hole, and it was obviously about pretty painful.
3.5 foot deep with a concrete bottom, mm-hmm. Maybe 3 or 4 inches of water, about 18 inches wide. I hit it just perfect, went all the way down, felt fish nipping at my ankle. And when I looked down, I realized it was the bone trying to come out.
Ouch. Oh, my gosh. I was thinking you got one of those free fish pedicure things, but no, it wasn't. It was oh, gross.
No,
all right. So
no,
did you, when this happened, did you, yell, oh, or what? I mean.
Actually, it was pointed out that I didn't yell. Yeah. I didn't scream. I looked over the people I just left. I said, I just broke my leg.
Hmm.
And they laughed at me because I wasn't that
animated.
I've been told I have a great tolerance for pain, which is why I can be with you.
Oh, good point,
Greg.
All right.
but anyway, I have a high tolerance for pain. So I climbed out, and I'm laying down there, and I'm saying, guys, I'm serious. I can't get up. And they go, oh, stop kidding around. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. So I've fallen and I can't get up. Oh, yeah, right. Get out of here, you clown.
Over, mm-hmm. And looks down, goes, holy blank. Yeah. Pete broke his leg. Now he yelled, mm-hmm. and that started. When I travel with a few people.
Right.
We had 44 on this trip.
Mm.
So the tribe, as I call them, our invasion crew, all got together and they started figuring out. Part of them worked on splinting the leg.
Yeah.
Another part of them worked on getting, because, you know, when you go to these places, they don't think about first aid like we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no first aid kit. There was no splints. They had to make all that. They had to come up with that, with wraps to hold it on my leg. There was no stretcher. They found a chase. You know, and all these people, all these different groups of people are going around solving these different problems. So all I had to do was sit there lying on the floor and just being patient. And patience is the best thing you can do.
Yeah.
In that situation.
Yeah. It doesn't do any good to freak out. I mean, it's happened. It now you just got to figure out what's going to be the best plan of action to get you out of there and get you healed up. And you were on one of the out islands there in the Fiji too.
Oh, I was. Right?
So they pulled the boat
in close, and then probably 44 people picked me up and walked me out into the surf, into the lagoon, and loaded me on the boat. And then the my best friend Dan was on this trip.
Yeah.
And he sort of like spearheaded things. But the crew drove me over about an hour and a half, hour 45 to the mainland, and then about another 2 hours to the hospital. In a private car. They really don't do ambulances there like we do here in America either.
Interesting. So you were like in a pickup or something, or like a regular car, or what?
I was in a van. Well, they first wanted to put me in a little Honda.
Yeah.
And Dan, again, having someone, and if you have anything, is travel with someone you know and trust and who's not pissed at you. That likes you. Okay.
As I get older, getting harder and harder to find. But regardless,
Dan was there, and Dan was awesome. And he's my best friend, has been for eons. And he made sure that the insurance was taken care of. He made sure that the hospital and the insurance talked, because that took a while. These guys don't really like each other. Mm-hmm. One's trying to get money, the other one's trying not to give money.
Yeah.
How insurance works. And he made sure that I was taken care of. About 24 hours later, I had the surgery on the leg. They put in two plates, 14 screws, titanium. I point out to people that I did take home a couple souvenirs from
the hospital.
Fiji, just inside, you know.
You mean inside your leg?
Inside my leg. Okay. I have my souvenirs inside my leg.
Mm-hmm.
And then the trip home. And again, if you don't have patience, you don't have a sense of humor, complicates things greatly.
Sure.
And, you know, it was 34 hours of flying and waiting in airports.
Wow.
To finally get home.
Wow. That's a long trek. So, yeah because really you had to fly, you had to get from Nandi, from the hospital to Nandi International, and then flew what, to L.A. and then back to Orlando, or where did you go?
No, we flew to New Zealand.
New Zealand.
And I've never been to New Zealand.
Hmm.
Well, you see, the problem is that they have to put you on a plane that can accommodate you putting a foot up.
Ah.
That you can get your foot up. So they put me in these first class planes that were just awesome planes.
Right.
You know.
But you had to fly through Auckland.
Exactly. We went to Auckland, and then we went from Auckland to Houston.
Got it.
And that was a 14-hour flight, and you know, while we're always telling people to hydrate, 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 I didn't. I didn't on purpose, because I couldn't see me going to bathroom in a plane with a broken leg, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I when I sat down, I stayed seated until we landed in Houston. I never moved.
Wow.
And they were awesome. The New Zealand Air that I flew on was awesome. They made sure that they took me from plane to plane. They got me on the plane. Houston, those guys kind of dropped the ball. We had to almost harangue them to get me on the plane and what have you. And there is very little help there. But
Houston, we have a problem. Right.
I decided that actually it's pronounced useless.
Okay.
In Texas.
All right. So,
you know, after always- that,
incidents that can happen that color your opinion of a particular town. I understand. Well, hopefully they'll have a chance to redeem themselves at some point in the future.
Possibly. Yeah. But since then, the biggest frustration is just having to sit. I can't tell you how many movies I've watched, how many TV shows I've watched. I've never watched this much TV in my life.
Yeah.
And
so your brain is rotting. You know, and you've given up on TV that. And decided, well, okay, I'll go ahead and talk to Greg on Scuba Radio.
Exactly. And I've been on Scuba Board a lot. In fact, I have this whole trip report on how it happens. I'm working on a longer report, which is going to be on what do you do when you're injured abroad.
Okay. Yeah. You want to learn from Pete's mishap. Because this stuff can happen to anybody. Even him, who's been around the world. So, you know, read that report at Scuba Board. And you know, thank God he's okay. We'll talk more about maybe some of the diving he actually experienced before this mishap next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Yes, well, it was a couple days ago, but people are still celebrating for sure. You know, dodge those fireworks if you're out on the water trying to fit a dive in this weekend. But look, we got Pete from Scuba Board right now, and the only fireworks he's watching is on TV because he's laid up at home with a broken leg that happened in Fiji. But he got back. You're okay. You're on the mend. You expect a full recovery and all that kind of good stuff, right? We'll get that out of the way, Pete.
I do expect a full recovery. I'm doing aqua therapy. I'm going into the springs and swimming and walking in chest deep water and trying to do that every day, every other day, and doing exercises in bed to keep the leg up so there's no atrophy.
Good.
You know.
Yeah, doing what you got to do. Yeah, in the meantime, you can catch up on your TV and movies and maybe some past
episodes.
And
Scuba Board.
Scuba Board and Scuba Radio, sure. All of it. Now, before this happened, you were on like a two-week adventure in Fiji. And
you'd
gotten
awesome.
In at least a few dives before this happened, right? It was about halfway through the trip or what?
Yeah, it was the last night we were at Benga Lagoon that it happened. And I got some great dives in. It's a beautiful place, awesome place. The whole place is, You know, I did miss a couple days of diving for other reasons. Greg and I were talking. He wanted me to bring this up. I have a three-strike rule when I dive.
Mm. Okay.
If three things go wrong, of course, if something goes wrong and I can't resolve it, I stop. Okay?
Oh, I was going to say, if three things go wrong, three strikes, and you're thrown in jail? But no. What happened?
If I have three things go wrong, even if I've solved the first two, I'm done. I'm done for the day. Things are not going my way for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. It's no use in trying.
Okay, so this is like a personal system that you've put in place for you that has done you well, and you actually exceeded your three-strike rule in Fiji on one of the days?
I did. We were going on the shark dive, and so we're doing the shark debriefing, and our host says, everyone brought a wetsuit, right? And I held up my hand and goes, no, I don't use a wetsuit. I'm built like a manatee. I don't need neoprene. I've got bioprene.
Yes, built-in insulation. Understood.
I said, so if this precludes me from going, that's fine. I won't go. Mm-hmm. And after it, he came up to me and says, we'll make sure you're protected. We'll put extra people around you to make sure that sharks don't come after you. Because, you know, I'm a colorful diver. I mm-hmm. wear lots of colors. I think that the black actually scares a lot of fish.
That's what you think. But they think the sharks like the contrast between the white flesh and black. I think that's why they like all their divers in wetsuits.
But I'm not wearing black. I'm wearing Technicolor. I've got blue mask, blue shorts, and a tie-dye shirt.
Yeah.
So, you know, I blend into the reef mm-hmm. is what I try to do.
Okay.
So anyway.
Right. But they didn't dig that.
That was the first one.
All right. And you're just like, all right, that's a strike one, even though they kind of worked it out, but whatever.
They worked it out. Yeah. And then I get onto the boat, and somehow my BC has been broken. The elbow that comes off the bladder
mm-hmm.
is looking like a mouth, and it shouldn't look like a mouth. It should be, you know, on the bladder, but it's broken. So I said, well, I'm not going to dive after all. I don't have to worry about the wetsuit because, look, you know, and the guy says, no, we got a BC for you. And they go back and they bring out this BC. Apparently the guy got the wrong size, but that to me was the third strike. It's like, okay.
So your BC that you had brought was messed up, like the inflator hose had come off the bladder. Is that what you mean?
No, the elbow
had cracked. Okay, but that was your BC.
That was my BC. The elbow is broken.
Okay,
how it got broken, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I might have dropped it on something. They might have dropped it on something. Who knows? It's
right.
broken.
Okay, so that's strike two. So that but they hooked you up with a rental BC, right?
That was too small.
That was a little too small. But you're like
a lot too small.
A lot too small. So at this point,
this like,
you're like,
I'm done.
Well, that was only two strikes, though.
So no. I had a wetsuit I didn't have.
Uh-huh.
I had my BC that was broken.
Yeah.
And then the BC that they brought me.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. That
was too small. There's three. And it's like, you know, guys, I'm not a big fan of shark feedings anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy. And they said, no, we'll get you on the Wednesday shark feeding. Which was fine. This is like Monday.
Yeah.
So I went home and I got walking in the shallows. I got this wonderful picture of a seahorse in ankle deep water, which everyone's like, oh my God, that's one of the best pictures of a seahorse I've ever seen. You know, so I was rewarded for putting it off.
Wow.
And I solved my problem with my bladder by, get this, removing it.
By removing the bladder?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You know, I took the bladder off, and then I dove without a bladder for the rest of the week. I'm a neutral diver. I balance my weight almost to the quarter of a pound.
Okay.
And so I just use my breathing
mm-hmm.
as my BC the rest of the week.
All right.
You know, I wanted to go up, I breathe deep. I want to go down, I exhale.
Okay.
And so, you know, I just set it up to where everything was just right like I normally do. And it was no big deal. I dove without a bladder. And I actually Tuesday, I went, made sure I had everything dialed in, because you want to make sure you have it dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
That Wednesday, I went and did the shark dive without the bladder as well. And I was able just to hover 2-3 inches above the coral like I normally do with a bladder.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If you learned how to do it, if you learn neutral diving, you know, you don't need a bladder. Now, on the surface, I had a submersible marker buoy, or you sometimes call them a sausage.
Right.
So if I needed to float, all I would have to do is blow it up, and I had flotation.
Okay. All right. That's one way to look at it. Sure. So you know, so a system in
I
place.
Was never unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
I just went back to how I learned diving. By the way, this last month, June, was the 50th anniversary of my first dive in Lake Underhill, 50 years ago.
Wow.
So, and back then we didn't have bladders.
Well, right. Yeah, back in the day, they didn't use those. They just strapped on a tank on some little plastic harness and a bunch of straps, and you're good to go.
Yeah,
ask Neil Watson, the dive god. That's what he did his records in.
No, that's how I started diving.
Yeah. Oh, I keep forgetting how old you are.
No, and how long I've been diving.
Well, it's a good thing.
You know, it was just going back to old school. It's just going back to how I first started.
Yeah. But you got the shark dive in before you stepped in a hole and broke your leg.
I did. It was fun. It was good. Glad I did it.
Well, you know, like I said, don't be Pete, or learn from Pete. You want to be Pete. He's done some pretty cool
things.
Yeah. All right, we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. You know, I was going to let Pete from Scuba Board get back to watching his TV shows and movies and stuff like that. But then right before I hung up the phone, he said, I just asked him, well, okay, you're going to be out of the water for like 3 months, 3-4 months or so. And he goes, no, I'm going diving this Saturday. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. You just broke your leg, dude. What's the story there, Pete? Really? You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you. I'm going diving. I think diving is the best physical therapy anyone could do for anything, like a broken leg, Achilles tendon.
Wait a minute. You're not wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. I picture you with a big, cast on your leg. How the hell are you going to be able to dive in this thing? What's going on here, Pete?
I don't have a cast. I have plates.
You have a plate.
I have a plate on my tibia, and I have a plate on my fibia. 7 screws each. It's an internal skeleton and not an exoskeleton like a cast. So I have a scar that you can see, 2 scars actually, and I'm going diving. I've been doing aqua therapy, getting in the pool, getting in the spring is my version of a pool, and swimming and walking in chest deep water, exercising it. And now it's time to go diving and put a fin on it, because fins are not the same as putting your full weight on it. You can kick as soft or as hard as you feel you can. Just go easy. Take it easy. But man, getting in the water is the best thing you can do. I need my vitamin C.
Of course.
I mean SEA.
Of course you do. All right. Well,
so the more you're in the water, the more you're going to heal, the happier you'll be, the more intelligent you'll be, the more waterlogged you'll be.
Yeah. Now, your doctor on board with this, or he's like, you're freaking crazy?
He's not much of a diver, so he probably thinks I'm crazy.
Yeah.
In reality, I'm not really telling him I'm doing this.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best, and hopefully things will heal up good regardless of how you plan to do your therapy.
You got it, Greg. Thanks.
And we got more coming up. Stay close.
Is the worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. It is the 4th of July weekend, and that gave me a reason to play that. I should have apologized in advance, but hey, it's just what we do here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we got Dr. Doug on the line with us right now, Dr. Doug Ebersole. He is our, he's our diver in the know, and he keeps hearts pumping from divers and non-divers alike, and he's on Scuba Radio right now, taking a break from the fireworks festivities. How are you, Doug?
Doing great, Greg. Good to talk to you.
Last time we spoke, we alluded to this a little bit, but I'm very excited because Doug and his wife are going to join us on our Red Sea adventure with Explorer Ventures in October. And I mean, well, wait. Yeah, October, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. October 17th to 24th.
I just had a little brain fart because
you have too many trips planned.
That's the thing. It's a good problem to have. But yeah, October is Red Sea, and I was thinking the Maldives, which I'm going to in January. I'm working out all the airfare and stuff like that. But we got the Red Sea thing down. Our airfare is all set. It was a little bit of a challenge to work it all out, but the folks at Explorer Ventures hooked us up, and Dennis and his wife is going to join us as well. And that'll be a new thing for you as well, right?
Yeah, we've been my wife and I have been fortunate to travel all over the world, but one of the places we have not been is the Red Sea, and I've heard nothing but phenomenal reports from there. So when that came up with you guys with Explorer Ventures, clearly you can't beat the experience with Explorer Ventures, so I thought it'd be a perfect trip to join you guys on.
Absolutely. Have you seen the pictures of the boat yet, by the way? Have you went on their
online
website?
Yeah, I've just seen them online. It looks beautiful. Absolutely stunningly beautiful boat.
Really, really nice. So that is going to be quite an adventure. Of course, we'll be broadcasting from the deck of the boat that week in October, so plan accordingly to join us. Or if you want to join us on the boat, it may not be too late. Just call up Explorer Ventures, 1-800-322-3577. And tell them you want to come on the boat that Scuba Radio and Dr. Doug have booked as well in the middle of October. It's going to be quite a thing. And then we get to go see the pyramids and ride a camel and all that stuff. Has that been on your list, by the way, as far as that kind of stuff?
Yeah, my wife is very excited about diving the Red Sea, but she's also very excited about seeing the Sphinx and the pyramids and so forth.
Yeah.
We actually done the camel thing before. We went to Tangier, Morocco, a couple of years ago when I was teaching a class in the Mediterranean. So we went and rode camels on the beach, but it's definitely worth doing. So I'm sure we'll do that again.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't done the camel thing yet. I've done elephants, and I had a wedgie for a week after that, but I haven't done the camel. Do you get the wedgie thing going on that, or
No, the camel's kind of interesting. They kneel down, so they'll kneel onto their I guess the elephant probably does the same thing. They kind of kneel, so you're kind of lurched kind of forward, and you kind of get on, then they kind of stand up in kind of a clumsy fashion. So that's the kicker.
Right.
And then they usually just kind of just walk, and it's actually pretty – it's fun. That's,
I'm
it's
sure.
A good time. I would highly recommend it.
You got to mark it off the list,
absolutely.
Figure. So, I'll be up on a camel during our surface interval on the backside of our Red Sea adventure with Explorer Ventures. Can't wait. But
of course, that's one of the great things about these dive trips is when you travel, it gives you an excuse to do other things that are on your bucket list. You get to the Red Sea, you have a wonderful dive, and you say, hey, we're already here. Let's go see the Sphinx and the pyramids and ride a camel, and gives you an excuse to do all that at the same setting.
Yeah. Last time I was in that part of the world, the one thing I saw all around that they were selling and I had to eat them was chocolate-covered dates.
That was good.
They were tasty. I'm like, why don't we have more of these? But that's all they sell in the airports of Dubai and stuff. It's a thing.
And, that's great.
And you get your little Aladdin lamp if you want to be a really cheesy American tourist. But whatever. we might see some of that stuff. Who knows? I don't really know what to expect other than, the videos and things of what we've seen. But it's one of those adventures that you want to mark off the list, and I can't wait. And I know the diving, like you said, I've heard so much over the years about how great the diving is in the Red Sea that, it'll be very interesting to see how it plays. I have a feeling it's going to live up to the hype. But
Sure. And you know, Roz used to work there. Roz was a dive master in the Red Sea for a number of years.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Really? So next time you talk to Roz, you need to bring that up as well. Yeah, she knows all about diving the Red Sea.
Well, absolutely. For sure. Now, last time we spoke, you were in the Cayman Islands doing Interspace, and you had a big time out there, I know. You were hanging with the folks from Shearwater. Gabriel and his family were out there. Last week we had him on the show. We were talking a little bit more about the Terek wrist mount dive computer, and you just got your hands on one too. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. I've loved Shearwater for many, many, many years, going all the way back to the Pursuit, which led to the Predator, which led to the Petrel, which led to the Perdix. You know, there's a whole series of computers that, as you know, are very, very user-friendly and outstanding computers. And they, with the new Terek, which has been out a year or a little over a year, I guess, probably, they've kind of moved into the rich wristwatch-sized computer that's got all of the features of a full-functioning technical dive computer, but as well can be set in open circuit recreational mode, open circuit technical mode. It can be set in free diving mode for people, you know, a gauge mode for free diving, or it can be a CCR computer. So I'm using it as a backup CCR computer for my rebreather, and then also using it for my just open circuit diving. It's just my, you know, regular old computer. So I'll be using that on our Red Sea trip.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm taking mine to Dominica for our next little adventure, and we'll talk about that here next week. But, you know, the thing is about this wrist mount dive computer, I've had a few over the years. I've had my share of trying these things out. But I got to say, you know, the problem I've always had with those things is the numbers are way too small. I can't read them. And they're great for, like, a backup. But the first time I got it down in the water with this thing when we were in Sabah, I was shocked. I was like, oh, my gosh. This thing, you can read it. It's super bright. I didn't even need cheaters to read the numbers. So it really, you know, it just made it very easy to navigate underwater and then planning for it above water. It was just very, it was like the iPhone of dive computers. It was very,
right. It's very intuitive. I didn't even have to really open any kind of a manual. You just kind of go through the buttons. It's very intuitive to use.
Love it.
And like you said, the numbers are nice and big, easy to read for those of us as we get older. And it's got, you know, multiple brightness displays. So you can, you know, you can make it low, medium, or high brightness to kind of make it easier or harder to read, whatever you need to do based on what kind of conditions you're in.
Right. Very, just a pretty screen, too. A lot of pretty colors.
Oh, yeah.
Great very screen. Impressive.
And you can also, you know, customize it. There's got a function button that depending on what you're doing, you can, you know, push that button in whichever mode you're in. It can bring up your compass or bring up this, or for rebreathers, it can be your bailout to open circuit. You know, it's very, very, you can personalize it.
Yeah.
You can also personalize the colors. I'm kind of boring. I'm kind of more of a vanilla guy. I've just kind of left mine black.
Right.
A very good friend of mine who dives everything, it's a male, but dives everything pink. He has his pink fins and pink mask and pink rebreather, and now he's got his pink display on his Terek.
Okay, he has to be color coordinated.
God, he has to be color coordinated. Yeah, exactly.
All right, whatever works.
Whatever works for you.
You know, that was one of the things about that computer as well. What is nice about it, that it will expand with you. And you are a perfect example of that. I'm not doing the rebreather stuff right now, but I know you do the KISS rebreathers, and you do that quite a bit. You do instruction and the whole thing. So this computer literally will go from all those different types of diving, whether it's open circuit or closed circuit rebreather stuff like you're doing with just by flipping the mode on that Terek. Is that right?
Right, just push of a button. So if I'm doing just, you know, recreational diving, I'm actually teaching our daughter-in-law just regular open circuit at the moment. So for open circuit diving, it's very, very easy. If I want to go closed circuit, within a couple of button pushes, I've already got that programmed in with your gas choices. It's incredibly easy to do. It's the same way as the other Shearwater computers, which are also very, very easy to use. This is just in a smaller platform. You know, the original Predator and Petrel computers were a little bit larger. They went smaller on the Petrel and even smaller on the Perdix, but they were still kind of a square-shaped, you know, wrist-mounted computer. This is basically a wristwatch, which you can just – I'm wearing mine now. I mean, I just wear it as a wristwatch as well.
Absolutely. So
it's a great device.
Very stylish. So it just looks like a slightly large, you know, wristwatch, or, you know, wristwatch with a little bit of bling attached
exactly
to it. Yeah, but it'll grow with you, and that's what I love about these things. And they really thought these things through, because, you know, it used to be you'd have to buy your initial dive computer when you got your open water certification, and, you know, now all of them pretty much have Nitrox. But if you want to go farther into rebreather stuff or whatever, you got to get a whole new computer. And now that's not necessarily
the case. Or even if you wanted to, I mean, some people just dive nitrox, but then like an advanced nitrox thing where you, if you're diving deeper for whatever reason, wrecks or spearfishing or whatever, and want to be carrying another gas, you know, 50% gas for decompression or something, it's very easy just to add a second gas and it'll work as a two gas open circuit decompression computer. I mean, you can do pretty much, it'll accept five gases in each of the modes, so you can switch, so you can have, you know, five different gases for your open circuit technical or your rebreather or nitrox. You could set it for air 32%, 36%, and whatever else you want. And then when you get on the boat, whatever nitrox mix you're using, just push that button. You're there good you to go.
Yeah, and it does have the wireless transmitter option where you can monitor your gas consumption and it calculates all that kind of good stuff. I'm not even using that feature, and I love the Shearwater Terek as it is. All right, look, Dr. Doug with us, getting ready to do some diving in the Bahamas, right?
Right.
We're going to talk about that next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I'm making 9 knots. I should have been in Fiji in less than a week. Well, the first piece of land I saw wasn't Fiji, was it? No. No, it was here, this island.
Cause no matter where we go, Dominica will always be our home. Some may venture near and far, but when you look up in the sky, you are always gonna be my star.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Next week, we will be in Dominica, the Nature Island, broadcasting. Make sure you plan accordingly and join us for that adventure. It's going to be something. 25th anniversary of Dive Fest at Dominica. So that is next Saturday for the big show. Dr. Doug is my guest right now, however. And, you know, one of the places you're getting ready to go is back to the Bahamas. And what are you doing exactly, Dr. Doug?
I'm going to be doing some cave diving there with Brian K. Cook in Abaco. It's the Crystal Caves of Abaco. He has lived there for, I don't know, 20 years or so, and does a lot of exploration and mapping of the caves. You know, he does a lot of stuff on Abaco, just like Christina Zanata is doing on Grand Bahama. Okay. So they're kind of the big cave explorers in that area, kind of pushing the areas. The caves in that area, rather than be, you know, kind of the rocks that we see Florida cave diving, or even the formations that you see in Mexico, these are actually crystal. So you get these, you know, stalactites and stalagmites, but rather than be rock, if you shine your light on them, they'll glow yellow or glow orange.
Wow.
Because it's actually just you're transilluminating this crystal. And there's some that are, you know, I don't know, 20 feet around, big pillars, and there's other things that there's a whole room where there's thousands and thousands of these little things that are about the size of straw, like soda straws. That are just kind of ceiling to floor,
really,
and a bunch of other little things. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful.
I bet. So is this like a typical thing, like where you get a like a cave that back in the day, billions of years ago, the cave ceiling fell in, like we have in some of the caves here in Florida, or what?
Well, there's some of that as well. It's basically, there was a really nice show on National Geographic about this years ago, where they you can actually date when these periods happen, because the iron dust kind of blows over from Africa and would settle in the Bahamas when the water levels were low. And as the water levels go up, you kind of get these things incorporated into stalactites and stalagmites as the water goes up and down. So there'll be layers of things. So the caves will have been dry for a period of time. And when they're dry, as water's dripping on the inside with the salts and so forth, it kind of makes these crystal stalactites and stalagmites. They will then flood over the next, you know, millennium or whatever, and then as it gets dry again with changing water levels, then they'll be dry again, and sometimes things will collapse when they get dry again, and all of a sudden there's one place where you see pillars that have obviously fallen and they're now horizontal on the floor, but other pillars have formed vertically on top of them. So you can see, you know, one ice age from another ice age kind of thing. It's very interesting stuff.
So is this all deep penetration cave diving we're talking about here, or not so much?
Yeah. It's pretty. It's some of the stuff is very, very pretty. Is only, you know, 400 or 500 feet back, which obviously sounds a long ways from the surface if you're not a cave diver, but is not real far. We went as far. I was there about a year ago with Brian, and I think the farthest we went back on that trip was a place called Wrigley Field. It's like this huge. He names all the places.
Yeah.
It's like this huge dome that it's kind of like you're up in the cheap seats of Wrigley Field as you kind of look down on how big this room is.
Wow.
And that was something like 3,000 or 3,500 feet back. So whatever that is, kind of a mile and a half kind of thing.
It's a ways.
No, I'm sorry, 3/4 of a mile back or something. About 3/4 of a mile back.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So it's a good little swim. But,
it's a good swim, and you know, it's all on rebreathers and bailouts and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a very delicate environment. I mean, I actually, as you know, I'm a photographer. Last time I didn't even take a camera because I actually had it with me, but I didn't take it the first day just to see what the conditions were like. And the some of those areas are so tight and fragile with these very fine things that have been there for thousands of years. I was actually scared I was going to break something. I didn't want to take any chances of causing any damage to the cave. So
sure.
This time I'm going to go back with a camera and actually shoot some video and some photos. But Brian is very, very conservative when it comes to, you know, cave conservation and so forth. He'll only take two people at a time. He will do cave training there if people want to do cave training. In fact, the guy I'm going with is going to go about 5 or 6 days early and do his cave CCR training. He's a full Trimix rebreather diver, but hasn't done cave. So Brian's going to do a cave course for him over about 5 to 7 days, and then I'm going to join him for the last 4 days, and we'll do some fun diving there as well.
But that sounds awesome.
So he's very good about that, and what he basically does is takes people in the first day to some areas that are not real fragile just to kind of get an idea of what their skill levels are, and then depending on who you are and how comfortable he is, he'll take you to places that are farther back or places that are more delicate and whatever. And even in the very delicate areas, he goes in first and stops and turns around and directs you where you can go and where you can't go, you know, to try and be extra cautious with the caves. But it's absolutely, absolutely beautiful. If you just look, if you Google something like Crystal Caves of Abaco and look at images, you'll see some of just beautiful, beautiful images.
Yeah, I bet. So are these caves, are they already like pre-wired, so to speak, with lines and
they're,
stuff?
Brian has mapped most of them. He's still pushing them. So, I mean, I'm sure there's some places that are, you know, several thousand feet farther back than we went. And he's still doing that. He's doing some exploration for the government. and some research stuff as well. So he's always, you know, when he's not teaching or guiding dives, he's actually there doing research and trying to see what things connect to other areas and that sort of stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds like an awesome adventure. And I'd love to join you, but I think I'd rather wait and just watch your pictures.
Okay. Yeah. I still got to get you in the cab, do this some official cavern training for you just to get
well, that would work too. Yeah.
And kind of a feeling for what the environment is like. I'm a strong proponent of a lot of Florida divers taking at least a cavern course because it's one of those things you don't know what you don't know.
Yep.
It's never a bad idea to have a full understanding as to kind of what that overhead environment is like, even though you've got a free ascent to the surface and so forth.
Well, whether you're in a cave or not, it'll make you a better diver, and that's what it's
absolutely
all about. And on that note, we'll wrap it up till next time when we're live from Dominica Dive Fest 25th year anniversary. Remember, it is always better. Where, Dr. Doug?
Down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everyone.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.